You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for this beautiful day. We admit to you, Lord, that there are divisions in our world these days. There is quarreling among us because we have not answered your call to fish for people. But you never stop fishing for us, calling us to you. We know that you will teach us. You will bring quarreling and divisions to an end. You will heal us into one body through baptism. So help us invite to baptize. Amen. In the season after Epiphany, we've been talking about baptism. There are eight steps in baptism, and there are eight Sundays in Epiphany. So far, the Magi presented themselves to Jesus. Step one. Step two, St. Peter professed his faith to Jesus. Step three, St. Andrew gave thanks for baptism. He saw abundance around him. And today, step four, when we baptize someone, step four is actually the baptism, where a child or an adult has the water poured over their head in the triune formula. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Sin is washed away, the power of evil is broken, and a person is grafted into the tree of life, eternal life. So today we learn from Chloe. Chloe was all about baptism, according to 1 Corinthians. Thank you, Mark, for reading. We read in 1 Corinthians, the beginning of that letter, one of Paul's powerful epistles, that Chloe was noticing that the church in Corinth, probably, there were divisions. People were misunderstanding what baptism was, and they were grouping themselves according to who did the pouring of the water over their head. I was baptized by Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, not getting that the point is that we are one in our baptism. So who was Chloe? Chloe was probably a patron of the early church. In order for her name to be mentioned, she likely sponsored the church. Maybe it met in her house. We know that the church spread from house to house in antiquity. And likely it was her house, and that was why she would have reached out to Paul for guidance when the church was struggling with division, quarreling. It's a good thing divisions and quarreling don't have anything to do with our world today, right? Yeah, right. My goodness. It is tough watching the news these days and thinking about the divisions that face us. The divisions in our own government right now, our Senate is in our focus as they deliberate. And we know that it is in many ways a house divided. It reminds me of the senator that went to his pastor. Did you hear about that? Yeah, a senator went to his pastor and wanted to plan his funeral. And he went to his pastor and he said, "You know, pastor, when I die and you give the funeral and when it's time for me to be buried, I don't want to be buried 6 feet under. I want to be buried 100 feet under." And the pastor said, "Why? Why 100 feet under?" He said, "Because you know, pastor, us senators, deep down, we're really good people." Ah, ha, ha. But we are divided. Why are there these divisions? Why are we so siloed in our world these days? You know, what Paul, the point Paul makes in Corinthians, and that's echoed in the gospel, is one of the reasons that we get divided is we lose sight of the fact that we are called to fish for people. We get caught up in thinking about what group we are in, what ideology do we subscribe to, and then we don't think about attracting people together. Instead, we think about what separates us. But Paul makes it really clear, answering Chloe's request, that the church through our baptism is about attracting together, reaching out. Just like you fish for fish, you need something to pull people together. We need to find and reach and attract to who's different than us. In our reading from the gospel, Jesus, when he is walking by the Sea of Galilee and he calls Simon and Andrew, he says to them, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That traditional translation, "I will make you fish for people." The new gender inclusive translation. Same point though. "I will make you fishers of men," fishers of people. In other words, it's an if-then statement. If you follow Jesus, then you fish for people. If-then. If you follow Jesus, then you fish for people. I learned in college, I took some philosophy classes, logic, modus tollens, means the contrapositive of an if-then statement is also true. So you flip it around and you make it negative. If you are not fishing for people, then you are not a follower of Jesus. Those are challenging words for us to think about. If you are not fishing for people, you are not a follower of Jesus. Challenging words. You know, Noah, we were talking about Noah. Noah actually wasn't a very good fisher. You'd think fishing would have made sense on the ark. It would have been a good way to eat. But do you know why Noah never went fishing? He only had two worms. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. But this is what I want to say. If you sort of think, you know, I'm not that good at fishing for people, don't feel bad, okay? We make mistakes. We make mistakes. And even if we are not so good at fishing for people, even if we kind of get annoyed at others and we want to push them away or we want to criticize, we see what's at fault, it's human nature. Jesus never stops fishing for us. Even when we're not perfect, even when we've failed at following Jesus, we've failed at fishing for others, Jesus keeps fishing for us. Jesus is full of grace and mercy and forgives us. We know that Peter messed up. We know that each of Jesus' disciples fail at times, including me. but Jesus forgives us. He is always pulling us in, fishing for us, wanting to bring us close to him. And he transforms our hearts over time so that we will learn how to fish for people. When Jesus catches our heart through our baptism, the Holy Spirit over time transforms our hearts so that we can be fishers of people. And Jesus, through our baptism, promises to heal the divisions that are in our world, divisions that separate us along ideologies, along race, along gender, you name it. Jesus is about bridging those, healing and bringing us together as one. I saw an example of the power of God's forgiveness this past week. I had heard about something in our community called shelter court or homeless court. And one of our members, Ingrid Euler, is a judge, the Honorable Judge Euler for San Bernardino County, and she presides at homeless court in our community. And I was able to go and observe and learn what it's all about firsthand. So this past Friday, I went to the Foothill Family Shelter here in Upland, and I gathered there with the other people Friday afternoon, and there was quite a gathering of people, a lot of people, people that were really the salt of the earth. There was motorhomes parked in the street, cars, you know, filled full of stuff. They don't call it homeless court for nothing. And I learned a lot that day. The bailiff came out and met me, welcomed me, and kind of ushered me around. Judge Euler said, you know, follow me, just shadow me. Part of the, at least half the time, is when people are come before the judge and they are sort of called to account for what they've done. They've broken the law somehow, okay? They have broken the law. That's the reason why many of these people are there, if not all. And they're given a choice, right? If you want to stand trial and you want a jury, and you want to go to the courthouse, you can do that, right? It's your legal right. And I'm sure I'm going to mess some of this up, and Judge Ingrid can correct this, but I'm going to do my best. They're given this choice. The other choice is you meet with the public defender, the DA is also there, and you can claim your guilt. You can stand before the judge and say, you know what, I'm guilty, no contest. And if you choose to do that, instead of going to jail, instead of having thousands of dollars of fines that you can't pay because you're homeless, your sentence will be changed. So that instead of having thousands of dollars and days in jail and having your car impounded and having a warrant out for your arrest, you're given 30 hours of community service or more, 60, 90, depends on the case. And you're given 30, 40, 50 hours of Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous. So it's your choice. The people stand up there. They've met with the public defender. They know what their choice is. And I got to tell you, some people, they don't want it. Some people are like, oh, you know, I didn't really do anything wrong. I shouldn't be here. If you want to fight it, be our guest. But most people, given the choice, say, yeah, I will plead no contest, and I'll do the work. That's what most people say. So one by one, name, the person comes forward, they're given the hours. Go do these hours and come back and see us in a month, 2 months, 3 months, whatever. That's half the time. But then the other half of the time is something called proofing. Proofing. These are people that have already done that first part, and they're back. And they are called to show proof that they have done the work that has been asked of them. And one by one, people come up looking very humble, very salty. They dig in their pockets and they pull out scraps of paper, letters from churches, many of them. Such and such Baptist church, to whom it may concern, John Doe spent 30 hours weeding our landscaping. He's a nice man. I hope that he gets back on his feet. Signed, Pastor so-and-so, Reverend Lovejoy, whatever. The judge sees it. She examines if it's legit. And if it passes muster, she goes, oh, by the way, this Baptist church, would they take more people? And yeah, they probably would. Okay, write down their name. What about the AA and the NA? Yeah, and they pull out that piece of paper. Scrawled on little lines is the local chapter of the AA or the NA they went to. Their name, the date, how many hours, over and over again. And if they have proof, then the judge says, this person standing there before the judge, the court clerk, two bailiffs, district attorney, public defender, 30, 40, 50 other citizens standing there, the judge says, you were guilty. But because you've shown proof, I find you not guilty. Your record has been expunged, and you are free to go. People do that. When they hear those words, I got to sit right up front. You should see their faces. You should see their bodies. It's like 100 pounds is lifted off their shoulders. Many people clapped their hands and said, thank God, or God bless you. One woman was so moved. She was there kind of all day, and her turn was last. And she said, I need to say something. She said, I want to just give thanks that I see our justice system working for the homeless. Thank you, and thank God. Judge Euler said to her, ma'am, I'm going to have to ask you to stop talking, or you're going to make us cry. It's too late for me. Her words were powerful. One by one, people were forgiven. They were given freedom to go, a fresh start. As I saw these people coming forward, I saw people who looked like me. I saw young men my age wearing T-shirts of rock bands that I listened to. People that reminded me of friends that I grew up with. I saw other people that looked like family members of mine. Do I recognize you? There but for the grace of God go I. I thought to myself, what separates me from them, us and them? And it occurred to me, nothing. Nothing separates us. They made some poor choices. They've had some bad luck. But we too stand before our judge, before God, and we admit our guilt. We could walk away, say, well, we'll try to do it on our own, but no. To be a follower of Christ is to stand before God and to say, I'm guilty. I have sinned. I haven't followed your Ten Commandments as you have told me to do. And God says to us, you are forgiven. Especially in the waters of baptism is that moment in our life that we can always hold on to and remember the gift of forgiveness that God has given to us. We are baptized and forgiven. The power of sin and death is broken, and we are given a fresh start. The question, of course, is what do you do with it? Question on everyone's mind. When I was standing there, what are these people going to do? The judge tells most of them, hey, go back to that church where you were serving. Hey, that NA you were doing, keep going. It's good for you. And to us who have been forgiven that gather, what do we do with the freedom that God has given us? Well, Jesus calls us. He says, follow me. Fish for people. Bring others in so they know this same grace. Share the baptism that you've received with others. Baptize, like Chloe, that ancient patron and leader of the church. She saw a division and she said, guys, you're not getting it. Come back and remember what your baptism is all about. So let us go forth and baptize. Remember our baptism. Baptize and invite our friends. Baptize and invite our enemies. But for heaven's sake, let us go forth and baptize. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.